بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه. أما بعد، حياكم الله جميعا، وها نحن إن شاء الله سنبدأ بالمرور على هذا الكتاب سريعا حتى نحاول أن نمر على أكثره بحول الله وقوته.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد، الشيخ mentioned that we begin with our study of the book of the Sunnah, and we will intend to move quickly through the book so that we can cover at least a greater part, if not all of it.
هذا الكتاب شرح السنة للإمام البغدادي رحمه الله أبو محمد الحسن النعري، والمتوفى سنة 29300 للهجرة.
So this is the book that Abu Muhammad al-Hasan al-Ali, the one who passed away in the year 329 للهجرة.
والمتن عندكم مترجم، لكن نحاول أن نأخذ جملة من الفوائد من كلامه رحمه الله.
So the book and the text is translated with you, but we will take some benefits related to the text that we will be reading, inshallah.
بدأ رحمه الله تعالى بحمد الله على الهداية والإخراج في الخير أو في خير أمة، ودعا الله عز وجل بما أو بالتوفيق لما يحبه الله عز وجل ويرضى.
And so he began by mentioning praise for Allah Azza wa Jalla for guidance, and the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla has established us in the best and the most noble of the nations, the Ummah. And that he asks Allah Azza wa Jalla for his tawfiq, and thanks him for his tawfiq and his success in all affairs.
فشكرنا هذا من أعظم المنن والنعم أن يهديك الله عز وجل بالسنة والتمسك بها. وهذا قول الله تعالى: قل بفضل الله وبرحمته بذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. قال المفسرون: الهداية هنا وخير الله هو التمسك بالسنة.
And so you mentioned there is no doubt that from the greatest of the blessings upon the servant is that Allah Azza wa Jalla guides him to the deen and to the sunnah. And that is in accordance with the sayings of Allah Azza wa Jalla, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Said with the virtue of Allah and His mercy, then this is better than everything that they gather. And so here Allah Azza wa Jalla has encouraged with thanking these blessings. These are from the greatest of the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ أَنَّ الْإِسْلَامُ هُوَ السُّنَّةُ السُّنَّةُ هِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ. والسنة إذا أطلقت يراد بها كل ما ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قولاً أو فعلاً، وأيضاً تطلق على ما يقابل البدعة، وكلاهما مراد هنا. السنة هي الإسلام، أي الإسلام هو كل ما أمر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكذلك الإسلام هو السنة المحضة التي يجب البعد عما يضادها وهي البدعة.
He mentioned that here the Imam, he went on to mention that which is related to the Sunnah, the fact that Islam is the Sunnah and the Sunnah is Islam. He mentioned that what is intended here, here the affair of the Sunnah is either mentioned that which is established upon the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from statements of action, all is intended by way of it is the hidayah, guidance of the truth. And that this is in opposition to innovation and to bid'ah. Both of these meanings are intended in this passage.
ثم ذكر من اللزوم أو من السنة اللازمة التي من رغب أو الجماعة ومن رغب غير الجماعة وفارقها قد خلع رقة الإسلام من عنق. هنا يبين أهمية الاجتماع على ولاة الأمر، الاجتماع على الحق. وبدأ بهذا الأصل المهم وما يتعلق بولاة الأمور والاجتماع وعدم الخروج، وهذا يؤكد على أن هذا الأصل عظيم من أصول السنة، لذلك الأئمة يبدأون به حتى في كثير من عقائدهم.
Then there is a lot of related to feeding to the Jama'ah, and there is a reference to feeding to the Imam. That whosoever spits away from the Jama'ah, that he has taken the yoke of Islam from his neck. And so he begins from an early part of the book with a mention of obedience to the ruler. Because of its importance, he starts out mentioning this early. He mentions that it is of major importance that one is familiar with the fact that one came to the Imam and one does not make food or does not revolt against the ruler.
وهذا دل عليه حديث كثير عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من رأى من أميره شيئا يكرهه فليصبر، فإن من فارق الجماعة شبرا فمات ثميتة جاهلية.
There are many ahadith that indicate it from those ahadith, the statement of the Prophet that whoever sees from his amir or from his leader that which he dislikes, and let him be patient. Because whosoever spits away from his amir and dies in his death is a death of jahiliyyah.
ثم ذكر أن الأساس الذي تبنى عليه الجماعة هم أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهم الأصل، وهم خير القرون، وهم أصل أهل السنة والجماعة الذين نمنا بالاقتداء بهم ونأخذ عنهم. فمن ترك الصحابة ومذهبهم فقد ضل وابتدل، ومن يشاقق الرسول بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين، سبيل الصحابة والتابعين قرون فضلا، هؤلاء هم الذين نقلوا لنا الدين.
Then he went on to explain that the asas and the foundation of this religion is in the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That they are the foundation of our deen, the foundation of our religion, and they are the best of generations. And we have been commanded to follow them. And whosoever abandons them and leaves them alone, then they have gone astray. And they have innovated the religion of Allah. And they mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَنْ يُشَاكِكَ الْرَسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Whomsoever follows or spits away from the Messenger after the guidance was shown to him, and follows away other than the way of the believers and the companions, then we will leave him in that path that he has chosen for himself and burn him in Jahannam.
ما ذكر عمر قول عمر رضي الله عنه: لا عذر لأحد في ضلالة ركبها حسبها هدى، إلى آخر قوله. وهذا القول من عمر رضي الله عنه محمول على المعاند الذي ظهر له الحق وسمعه فأعرض عنه حسب أنه على هدى، فهذا لا شك أنه على ضلال وانحراف، وليس منهم الذي يبحث عن الحق لكنه ما وفق، أو أنه لم يهتدي إليه، هو الجاهل الذي يحب الحق ويبحث عنه. وأما المعاند الذي سمع أقوال أهل السنة وسمع أقوال أهل العلم وعرف الحق فهذا لا عذر له.
Then he mentioned the statement of Umar رضي الله عنه that there is no excuse for a person leaving the guidance. This statement is held to mean and to be applicable to the one who is mu'anid. That is, it is applicable to the one who is obstinate, an obstinate rejecter. As far as the one who is a jahil, the one who is ignorant and doesn't know better, and the one who seeks guidance, then it is not applicable to him. Rather, this is applicable to the one who is obstinate, that is, the guidance is clear to him, he knows of it, but he's a rejecter, he's obstinate, and he denies it. No.
قال واعلم رحمك الله ان الدين انما جاء من قبل الله لم يوضح على عقول الرجال وعلمه عند الله وعند رسوله ثم امر باتباع السنه والتمسك بالسواد الاعظم ما هو السواد الاعظم قال الحق واهله وهذا كله اشاره الى وجوب الاتباع وترك الابتداع وان على العبد ان يتبع الحق لا يتبع الهوى ولا يعارض سنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعقله
Now, and then he mentions that indeed the deen or the religion has come by way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It has come from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And this has been an indication, or this section has been an indication of the affair of tamassuk, of clinging to the Sawat al-A'zam and clinging to the main body of the believer, that it has been an ishara and an indication of making ittiba the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
والسواد الأعظم هنا المراد به الحق وأهله وإلا كما قال ابن مسعود الجماعة ما وافق الحق ولو كنت وحدك وهذا اللفظ لم يرد فيه أو لم يصح فيه حديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
من جزء السواد الأعظم what is intended by way of it then is the حق is the truth of his people and that the statement is in accordance with that which Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu has mentioned, and that is that the sawad al-a'lam is that which is in accordance with the truth, mawafaq al-haq, that which is in accordance with the truth, even if you are alone. Even though there is nothing that is established upon the messenger of Allah carrying his meaning, but it is established upon the likes of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu.
ثم قرر رحمه الله أن الناس إذا ابتدعوا بدعة فإنه سيترك من السنة مثلها إن البدع تقضي على السنة كما أن نشر السنة يقضي على البدع
They want to mention that indeed the people when they leave along the sunnah then they carry or they take on board from bid'ah that which is like unto it. And this then is the nature of abandoning the sunnah. This is what will occur when a person abandons the sunnah.
قال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه يجيء قوم يتركون من السنة مثل هذا يعني الأصل فإن تركتموهم جاءوا بالطامة الكبرى يعني أنهم يتركون السنة كلها وإنه لم يكن أهل كتاب قط إلا كان أول ما يتركون السنة وآخر ما يتركون الصلاة
Which is that it has occurred from the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said that people will come across you, or you will come across a people, and will come to you, and they will leave from the sunnah the likes of this. He pointed to just a part of his finger. He said that if you leave them alone, that they will bring with many, they will come with major calamities. He said that is the nature of abandonment of the sunnah. That it begins by leaving something small and then it develops to these major calamities.
يقول حسان المعطية رحمه الله ما ابتدع قوم بدعة في دين إلا نزع الله من سنتهم مثلها ثم لا يعيدها إليهم إلى يوم القيامة.
Likewise, I'm saying that Hassan ibn Atiyah, رحمه الله تعالى, who said that people do not innovate in their religion and innovation except that they leave the light of it from the Sunnah. They read something about innovation, they leave the light of that thing from the Sunnah, and they never return back to it until يوم القيامة.
ثم حذر من صغار المحدثات وأن صغيرها يعود كبيرا وهذا أمر مقرر في الشرع وهذا كما قال بعض السلف البدعة تجر أختها وكما قال تعالى فلما زاغوا أزاغ الله قلوبهم الذي يزيغ ويتساهل في صغار البدع تجره إلى كبار البدع.
Then we start to warn against small innovation. He said he warned against small innovation because if it is left, it will continue until it goes to become large innovation. And so the affair then here is that of a warning against his minor innovation or small innovation. And then it reminds us of that which is established in the Sharia, that is that the when they went astray, they first chose to go astray, Allah made their hearts go astray.
بل هذه الآية فلما زاغوا قال أبو أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه هؤلاء هم الخوارج.
أبو أمامة رضي الله عنه said concerning this ayah is the reference to the Khawarij.
وهذا مثل قوله تعالى في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا.
Mentioned the statement of Allah in their heart, the disease, and Allah increased their disease.
وهذا كما حصل للخوارج لما كانوا في بداية أمرهم ابتدعوا تسبيح الجماعة كبروا مياه هللوا مياه مرمى نصح عن الصحابة ولم يرتدعوا كان أكثرهم مع الخوارج يقاتلون الصحابة.
And as it occurred in the beginning with the Khawarij, they started, their affairs started out by group vigor. يعني say تكبير 100 times, say subhanAllah 100 times, started out like this. Then their affair developed until they were the ones who fought against Ali رضي الله عنه and the Sahaba, يعني from whom the Khawarij. That is how they began. They began to start out something small and developed until they became those who fought against the companions.
بل إن بعض البدع والتساهل هي قد يجر العبد إلى الوقوع في الشرك الأكبر والردة عن الإسلام. لذلك من خطورة البدع أنها قد تجر إلى الردة الصحيحة الصريحة، وهذا كما حصل كثير من البدع من المعطلة جعلوا صفوان جعلوا درهم وصلوا إلى الزندقة. لهذا قال هنا البربهاري فخالف الصراط المستقيم فخرج من الإسلام.
That is because of the fact that there are some innovations that in fact lead a person, if they continue and persist upon its path, lead them to a shirk and to zandaqa, to heresy. As occurred in the life of Jahm ibn Safwan and Jahm ibn Dirham, that they were individuals who started upon a path of innovation, they ended upon heresy. And that is the nature of the affair of innovation. And that is why he said at the end of the statement, فَخَارَجُوا مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ that they left Islam. Because that is how some ended up.
ثم ذكر أصلا عظيما مهما من تمسك بهذا الأصل كفي الفتن وكفى غيره من كثير من الفتن.
Then he mentioned another asul or another origin that whosoever came through it will be saved from fitna, saved from trial.
وهو عدم التعجل والدخول في المسائل والمهاترات. قال إذا سمعت كلام هذا زمان فلا تعجل ولا تدخل حتى تسأل أهل العلم وترجع إلى الأدلة. قال هل تكلم به أصحاب رسول الله أو أحد من أهل العلم؟ إن وجدت من تكلم به تمسكت به. وهذا دائما حصل فيه كثير من الضرر على الدعوة وهو تعجل كثير من الشباب دخولهم في المعاترات والفتن بدون الرجوع لأهل العلم ثم بعد ذلك ضروا أنفسهم وأضروا الدعوة.
Then he mentions the section around being cautious concerning that which manifests within your own time. And then he mentions the fact that this is one of the affairs that the Shabab and that the youth need to be cautious about. And that is entering into those statements of those affairs that arise during our time without returning back to the people of knowledge. And so he warns against that in this passage because of the fact that it is something that is dangerous for the Shabab. Yani that they hear of an affair, they enter into it without returning back to the people of knowledge who are present in order to seek counsel and guidance concerning those affairs.
وهذا كما قال سفيان الثوري رحمه الله قال إذا استطعت ألا تحك رأسك إلا بأثر فافعل. الإمام أحمد يقول لا تتكلم في مسألة ليس لك فيها إمام.
Likewise, just as Sufyan al-Thawri, رحمه الله تعالى, he said, if you are able to scratch, or if you are able to leave along scratching your head, except for the narration, then you should do so. And I put Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that you should be cautious of taking a position that you have no precedence for from among the scholars of the past.
ما بين أن الخروج عن الحق وعن الطريق يكون على وجهين.
And he explained the fact that leaving the path, leaving the sunnah occurs in one of two manners.
الأول أخطأ وهو لا يريد إلا الخير فهذا لا نتابعه على خطأه ولا نقتدي به ولكن نعلم أنه إن لم يتراجع فإنه على طريق هلك.
The first is that a person makes a mistake, but he did not intend except the good. He did not intend except khayr. So he makes a mistake, and he falls into error. He didn't intend except khayr. We do not follow him upon his mistake. We do not follow him upon his error because he's wrong, even though his intention was good.
وأما الآخر فهو المعاند الذي خالف الحق وخالف من قبله فهذا شيطان بريء يجب الحذر منه والتحذير اعتقاد أنه على ضلال.
The next up there is the one who does so intentionally, he's mu'anid, he's an obstinate rejecter. So you know what he's doing. This individual is a devil, he's a shaytan, a rebellious devil. And one should not follow the likes of this individual upon his path.
وهذا فيه الرد على من يقول حذر من البدعة ولا تحذر من المبتدع ولا تذكر اسمه. قال هنا حقيق على من يعرفه أن يحذر الناس منه، ما قال أن يحذر الناس من بدعته. يحذر الناس منه ليبين للناس قصته لخبره وابتداع حتى لا يقع أحد في بدعته.
And he said that it is a right, and this is a warning and a refutation against those who said we want against the bid'ah, we don't want against the individual. He said that he mentioned here that it is a right for anyone who knows his affair to make it clear to the people, to clarify to the people, that no one will fall into their bid'ah, no one will fall into his error. And so this is a clear response and rebuttal of those who say we want against the bid'ah, but we don't want against the individual.
وذكر رحمه الله وجوب الاتباع وأنه لا يتم إسلام العبد حتى يتبع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويصدق، والذين نقلوا لنا سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام هم الصحابة، فيحترمهم ويكرمهم ويعلم أن الطعن فيهم طعن في رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Then he mentions that which is related to following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they are the carriers of this deen. Whosoever speaks ill of them, then they have spoken ill concerning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Qalam, kitab mutarjim.
Or you just take it by itself, anybody. I'm trying to download it when I'm translating.
قَالَ وَعَلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي السُّنَّةِ الْقِيَاسِ أي القياس الباطل الذي فيه تحريف للكلام وتأويل للمعنى وتأويل للصفات وغير ذلك من الأمور، هذا من المعارضة للحق.
Then he mentions that there are no analogies in the Sunnah, and that is the analogies that are false, false analogies, ta'wil al-qiyas al-batil, and that is that which refers and returns back to false analogies based on false interpretations. And so these false interpretations are not present within the Sunnah, and are not accepted by within the Sunnah.
قال ولا يضرب لها الأمثال أي لا تعارض السنة بضرب المثل، لا تعارض السنة بضرب المثل. المثل المراد به أن يأتي بأمر يعارض فيه سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، مثل لما جاء رجل إلى ابن عمر باستلام الحجر قال قال رأيت رسول الله يستلمه. فقال هذا الرجل: أرأيت إن كان زحام؟ أرأيت إن حصل كذا؟ أرأيت إن ضربت؟ فقال: دع أرأيت في اليمن، سمعت السنة طبق، فلا تضرب المثل. هذا معنى ضرب المثل.
And so what he intends by striking these examples are examples that are posed, and by way of them we have an opposition to the Sunnah. And so they are caveats that a person tries to put into place in order to oppose the Sunnah, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just like that which occurred when Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw an individual around the Kaaba and they were kissing the black stone. And he was saying, this individual seeking reasons to avoid doing so. What about if there's this? Or what about if there's that? Or what about if such and such? And so the Prophet, he said, leave what about in Yemen? Leave this, what about? Leave it in Yemen. Can you fulfill the Sunnah? That is it.
قال ولا تتبع الأهواء. إذا الواجب هو الواجب التصديق والتسليم. وقول هنا بلا كيف هذا يكون في صفات الله عز وجل، ولا شرح أي مقصود به الشرح الباطل كتأويل صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى، ليس المقصود التفسير. لا يقال لما هذا غير الواقع القضاء والقدر يجب التسليم، ولا كيف في صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى.
نعم. So he mentions therefore and there is no following of desires. And in that he mentions that which is related to the end of the passage, that you do not say how, don't say kaif, or why. And he said that is a reference to asking concerning the asma or sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal, the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, and attempting to explain them away before interpretation. But a person doesn't employ that, rather we believe in them, we accept them as they occur, without these false interpretations that oppose the Sunnah.
ثم حذر من الكلام أي الجدال، وأن ذلك كله يحدث الشك في القلوب، وهذا كله من تحذير السلف من علم الكلام. بل قال مالك رحمه الله: من طلب الدين بالكلام تزندق. وقال الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله: حكمي في أهل الكلام أن يضربوا بالجريد ويطاف لهم ويطاف بهم في الأشاعر والقبائل. وقالوا: هذا جزاء من ترك الكتاب والسنة وأخذ بالكلام.
Then he was against the affair of debating and argumentation. And he mentions that indeed this affair of debating and argumentation was from the innovation that thrown out into the heart. I should mention that Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say that whosoever sees the religion by way of argumentation, tazandaq, he falls into it, he becomes a heretic. And likewise, he mentioned the same from Imam Shafi'i, who said that my ruling upon the people of in our argumentation and debate and theological rhetoric is that they should be beaten with branches, and that they should be paraded around the varying tribes, and it should be said that this is the outcome of the one who seeks the deen by way of kalam and by debating and rhetoric.
قال وعلم أن الكلام في الرب محدث وهو بدعة ضلالة ولا يتكلم الرب إلا بما وصف نفسه. المقصود هنا في الكلام بالرب وكلام أهل البدع المحدث التأويل والتشبيه وتعطيل صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى، أي كل كلام محرم هذا نهي عنه الرب سبحانه وتعالى. وإنما الكلام واجب الرب، وما أمرنا به وأخبرنا عنه من أسمائه وصفاته، فإن الله وأسماءه وصفاته من الغيب الذي يجب التوقيف فيها في كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And so he mentions then that this passage about theological or speculative speech about Allah Azza wa Jal is a reference to speculative speech of the people of innovation. And that is, they're using speech that is muharram, that is haram, and that is speech that involves ta'wil and the interpretation of the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal, are distorting the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, the attributes of Allah Subhanahu. And this is what he informs of here, this rhetorical speech that is used by the people of innovation and the people of misguidance.
ثم ذكر جملة من صفات الله أنه أول وآخر وأنه يعلم كل شيء ثم ذكر علوه سبحانه وهنا نجمع بين علو الله وأنه مستوى على العرش وبين علمه سبحانه بكل شيء
Then he mentioned that which is related in part to Allah Azza wa Jalla being the first and the last, and that his knowledge encompasses everything. And so he mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the first without any when, and the last without any end. And that the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla encompasses everything. And so he discusses here this sifa from the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that is between Allah being the first and the eternal, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla is above his creation with his knowledge.
ومن القواعد المهمة في أسماء الله عز وجل وصفاته هو عدم التكييف فلا يجوز السؤال عن صفات الله بكيف وهذا كما قال مالك لما قال له رجل كيف استوى قال الاستواء معلوم والكيف مجهول والإيمان به واجب والسؤال عنه بدعة
And he mentioned that which is related to asking concerning the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal or asking concerning the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and that is what is known as a takyif, that is asking the question how as it relates to Allah Azza wa Jal. He mentions here that the important principle that we should remember constantly in relation to Allah Azza wa Jal and understanding the sifat of Allah is that we refrain from takyif. And this tahdeef is when a person says or asks how the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal are. And he brought to our memory the statement of Imam Malik when he was asked concerning how Allah rose above the throne. He mentioned and responded with that important principle. He said, the rising istiwa is known, how is unknown. To ask about it is an innovation, to believe in it is wajib, and to ask about it is an innovation.
وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات مبني على ثلاثة أسس. الأساس الأول هو الإثبات، نثبته كل ما أثبته الله لنفسه. والأساس الثاني هو التنزيه، ننزه الله عن صفات النقص، وننزه الله عن مشابهته لخلقه. والأساس الثالث وقطع الطمع بإدراك الكيفية.
He mentioned that the principles then that the name and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla are built upon are three main principles. The first of them is the principle of ihbat, that is, that we affirm to Allah that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has affirmed and His Messenger has affirmed to Him. That then is the first of these principles, that is bad. The second of them is that tanzih. Tanzih is that we free Allah Azza wa Jal from any deficiency and from any resemblance to His creation. That is the second of those principles, that tanzih. And the third of them is that we give up any hope in desiring to understand how the name of Allah Azza wa Jal are. That we leave that alone, we abandon that. And that is the issue that is being discussed at this point within the world.
ومن صفات الله الكلام والقرآن من كلام الله عز وجل. فأهل السنة يؤمنون أن القرآن كلام الله كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فأجره حتى يسمع كلام الله. وأجمع أهل السنة على أن من قال القرآن مخلوق فقد كفر.
Then he mentioned that which is related to the sifa of the characteristic of the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that this is from the characteristics and the attributes of Allah that the Sunnah affirm. And that is based on a number of evidences. From those evidences, the statement of Allah that أَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, that if any of the mushrikeen seek to be in close proximity to you, neighbors to you, then allow that for him, give that to him, so that he may hear the speech of Allah. And so Allah affirms that it is his speech, that the Quran is his speech. And so he mentions that Ahl Sunnah Ijma', and they are united upon the fact that whosoever says that the Quran is makhluq, whosoever says that the Quran is created, then he needs Islam.
وذكر من مسائل العقائد وجوه الإيمان برؤية المؤمنين لربهم يوم القيامة وأنهم يرونه بأبصارهم, وهذا دل عليه القرآن والسنة والإجماع.
Mentions likewise the affair of the ru'ya, and that is belief in the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla will be seen in the hereafter. And this is from the belief of Ahl Sunnah that is established with the Quran, with the Sunnah, and with Ijma, with consensus.
Allah Azza wa Jalla يقول وجوه يوم إذن ناظرة, أي مستبشرة وفرحة, إلى ربها ناظرة, لتنظر إلى وجه الله الكريم.
And إذا Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that faces on that day will be illuminated, bright and happy, looking at their Lord, that is staring and looking at their Lord. And so here we have the establishment of the believers seeing Allah Azza wa Jalla in the
heaven. الذين أحسنوا الحسنى أي الجنة وزيادة وهي النظر إلى وجه الله الكريم, صلى الله بذلك نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث صهيب صحيح مسلم.
Similarly, we have that which is related to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, الذين أحسنوا الحسنى والزيادة. For those who do good, they will receive الحسنى. And al-husna meaning they will receive good and a ziyada. The good here is a reference to paradise, but the ziyada is that which is related to the seeing of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This was how it was interpreted by the Imam Zuhri and others in the Muslim.
حديث أما حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الرؤيا فبلغت أكثر من 30 صحابيا, أكثر من 30 صحابيا, وهي من الأحاديث المتواترة, ومنها مشهور حديث جرير رضي الله تعالى عنه, إنكم سترون ربكم كما ترون القمر ليس دونه سحاب.
Similarly, from the hadith that are related to the establishment of the ru'ya of Allah and seeing Allah Azza wa Jal, there are over 30 of the companions that have narrated this affair of the ru'ya and the affair of seeing Allah Azza wa Jal on Qiyamah, over 30 of them. From them we have that which is established from the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that verily you shall see your Lord in the hereafter the way you see the moon when it is full, having no clouds, and you will not push and shove to attain that sight.
ومن مسائل الاعتقاد الداخلة بالإيمان باليوم الآخر وجوب الإيمان بالميزان يوم القيامة, وهذا دل عليه القرآن والسنة والإجماع, وخالف في ذلك الخوارج والمعتزلة.
Likewise, from the affairs related to our belief is belief in the mizan, or belief in the scales that will be resurrected in the Qiyamah, and that is established by way of the book, by way of the sunnah, by way of ijma, and no one opposes in that other than the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah.
وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ الدليل القرآن.
Likewise, we have the likes of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we shall erect the scales of justice on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is evidence from the Quran.
وَالَّذِي يُوزَنُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ ثَلَاثَةُ أُمُورٍ يُوزَنُ الْعَبْدُ نَفْسُهُ, ويدل على ذلك حديث ابن مسعود أن الصحابة تكلموا عن ساقين ضعفهما فقال إنهما في الميزان أثقل من جبل أحد.
We believe that there are three things that will be weighed on your Qiyamah. These scales will be erected to weigh three things. The first of them is the app or the serpent himself, that is, the worshippers themselves. And what establishes that is the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, when Ibn Mas'ud was on occasion climbing a tree, and the companions who were present were laughing at the slim nature of the legs of Ibn Mas'ud. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, they're laughing at his legs, by Allah, they are heavier and in the scale. يوم القيامة لنا القبول.
والثاني يوزن العمل نفسه. كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان. سبحان الله العظيم سبحان الله الرحيم.
The second of the affairs is the weight of the actions themselves. And what establishes that is the hadith of Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that there are two words that are heavy in the scales, that are light upon the top, heavy in the scales, Yawm al-Qiyamah, subhanAllah al-Bihamdihi, subhanAllah al-Azim. So here the Prophet ﷺ established that they are heavy in the scales, Yawm al-Qiyamah.
وَكَذَلِكَ الثَّالِثُ تُوزَنُ صَحَائِفُ الْأَعْمَالِ. ويدل على ذلك حديث صاحب البطاقة موطوطه 99 سجلا من الذنوب كفه.
Likewise, the third of those things is that the sahaif or the scrolls of deeds themselves will be weighed. So the third is that the scroll of deeds will be weighed on Qiyamah. And what establishes that is the well known hadith of the dibaqa or the hadith of the car that will be established and will be placed upon the scale, that a man will come with 99 scrolls of evil deeds and one card. And that will be weighed on the scale and it will outweigh those scrolls of deeds. We've all established the fact that scrolls themselves, the scrolls of deeds, will likewise be weighed.
ومن الإيمان باليوم الآخر الإيمان بعذاب القبر. وهذا يتضمن الإيمان بفتنة القبر وبنعيمه وبعذابه.
Similarly, from the affairs of Quran that are related to our belief, is our belief in the punishment of the grave. And that inclusion comprises that which is related to the punishment of the grave and the bliss of the grave.
ويدل على هذا القرآن والسنة والإجماع. في القرآن قوله تعالى: النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. فدل على أن عرض النار كان في الدنيا. من السنة أحاديث كثيرة من مر على قبرين قال إنهما ليعذبان فما يعذبان في كبير. وذكر النميمة وعدم التنزه إلى القبر وأمرنا بالاستعاذة من القبر أو عذاب القبر.
Likewise, that which is related to the punishment of the beast of the grave, we have an establishment of this affair of our belief by way of the Qur'an and the Sunnah and Ijma'. As far as the Qur'an is concerned, then we have the lights of the sayings of Allah Azza wa Jal, and now we are Abuna alayhim, that indeed the fire will be exposed to them day and night, a reference to Fir'aun and the people of Fir'aun, that they will be exposed to the fire day and night. And Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will be said to them, enter the most severe punishment. And so the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentions that the fire will be exposed to them, or they will be exposed to the fire day and night, and then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will be said to them, enter the fire, then that indicates that this first exposition to the fire is the punishment of the grave. Likewise, in the Sunnah, we have the same to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he passed by a grave, or two graves, and said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. That indeed the two of them are being punished, but they're not being punished for something great.
وَأَمَّا تَسْمِيَةُ الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِمُنْكَرٍ وَنَكِيرٍ وَرَضَ فِي حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ عِنْدَ الْتِرْمِذِي بِإِسْنَادٍ حَسَنٍ.
As far as the naming of the angels Munkar and Nakir, then it appears in the Sunnah of Imam al-Tirmidhi that is established with a Hasan chain of narration.
ومن الإيمان باليوم الآخر الإيمان بحوض النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا ورد في القرآن في قوله إنا أعطيناك الكوثر. والكوثر هو النهر الذي يصب في الحوض. وأما في السنة أحاديث كثيرة اصبروا حتى تلقوني على الحوض.
Likewise, we have the establishment of the howl of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is established in the Kitab and in the Sunnah. Firstly, as far as that is established in the Book of Allah, is the statement of Allah azza wa jalla, inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, that we have indeed given you al-kawthar. And al-kawthar is the river that supplies water to the howl of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jalla gave him a river in Jannah, and that river supplies the howl or the pond of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that occurs in the Sahih, that he said that you should be patient until you meet me at the howl. Be patient until you meet me at the howl. And that is from the Book and from the Sunnah.
وأحاديث الحوض بلغت حتى التواتر أكثر من 80 حديثا وروية أكثر من 20 صحابي.
As far as the hadith of the howl are concerned, then there are more than 80 hadith concerning the howl, and they have been narrated by more than 30 of the companions. And so these are hadith of mutawatir. Mutawatir being that they've reached a level where it's not possible to say that all of these individuals have come together upon a line.
وجاء من صفاته أن كزامه أي كؤوسه أكثر من عدد نجوم السماء وأنه أبيض من اللبن وأحلى من العسل أنه منشر ومنه شربه لم يضمن بعدها أبدا وأنه يطرد عنه من ارتد ومن أحدث في دين الله وهذا من العقوبات المبتدعة
And the howl has been described as having cups and vessels to drink from that are more numerous than the stars in the sky. And then the Prophet described it as its water being whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. And that whosoever drinks from it will never go thirsty again. And that there will be individuals who will be rejected and repelled from the howl of the Messenger, from them the apostate, and from them the innovator in the religion. And this is from the Uquba, or from the punishment upon the Mubtadi' and upon the innovator.
وصح في حديث سمرة عند الترمذي وغيره أن لكل نبي حوضا وأما حديث حوض صالح عليه السلام ضرع ناقته فهذا ضعيف.
And it is established in the hadith of Safwa in the Surah of Imam Tirmidhi that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that every Nabi will have a howl. Every Prophet will have a howl. And as far as that which has occurred from the howl, or except Salih, because his howl is the pond of his camel, then that is something that is not established for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ومن الإيمان باليوم الآخر الإيمان بالشفاعة وذكر هنا شفاعة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهذه عامة للنبي وغيره عليه الصلاة والسلام من الأنبياء الصديقين والشهداء يشفعون لأقوام دخلوا النار من أهل التوحيد أن يخرجوا منها وأكثر هذه الشفاعة في هذا النوع.
Now, so you mentioned thereafter we have the establishment of that which is related to the Shafa'ah or the intercession of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, there are a number of intercessions that will take place on the Day of Judgment. And here we have a mention of the Shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he will intercede for individuals that were due to enter the hellfire, intercede for them that they could not enter.
وهذه أيضا يذكرها الخوارج والمعتزلة.
And this is another one of the خوارج والمعتزلة that they reject and not accept.
ولماذا أنكر الخوارج والمعتزلة الميزان ولماذا أنكروا هذه الشفاعة؟
And so the question that arises is why do the معتزلة and the likes of these individuals, why do they reject the scales and why do they reject intercession?
من يجيب
بمن
بلال لتكفيره لصاحب الكبيرة، لأنهم يعتقدون أن المذنب لا يحتاج أن يوزن مباشرة يذهب إلى النار، والمذنب إذا دخل النار عندهم أصلا لا يخرج منها لأنهم يكفرونه خالدا مخلدا عندهم، لذلك ينكرون الميزان ينكرون الشفاعة.
And so the reason the Khawarij and Mu'tazila, the reason they reject the affair of the scales and the affair of the intercession is because of the fact that they maintain fear of the one who does a major sin. And so because of the fact that this individual is a kafir as far as they're concerned, then there is no need for any waiting of any deeds because they're kafir. And there is no need for any intercession because it's a kafir. The kafir will not be interceded for. And thus they reject, yani by necessity they must reject that for it to be congruent with that which they already believe in and they have already established.
ثم ذكر أيضا من الإيمان باليوم الآخر الإيمان بالصراط. الصراط جسر يضرب على ظهر جهنم يمر عليه الناس فينقسمون أقسام، منهم من يسقط في النار ومنهم من تلسعه النار وتؤذيه وتحرقه لكنه يموت، ومنهم من ينجو ولا تؤذيه النار.
Then he mentioned that which is related to the Sirat, and that is the bridge that is extended over the hellfire. And this bridge, he mentioned, is present over the hellfire, and from the people are those who differ in relation to how they cross it. From them are those who will fall into the hellfire or hell within that. From them are those who will cross, they will be harmed while they cross, but they will not fall into it. And from the people are those who will cross without being harmed at all.
ودل على الصراط القرآن والسنة والإجماع.
And the صراط is indicated by the Quran, by the Sunnah, by consensus.
وأما من القرآن قوله تعالى وإن منكم إلا واردها، والورود هنا المرور على الصراط. وأما في السنة فالحديث كثيرة عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حين ذكر مرور الناس على الصراط أن منهم من يكون كالطرف كغمض العين، مرور منهم البر كالبر، لأن الناس هناك يحتاجون إلى شيئين. الأول سرعة المرور، والثاني النور الذي يريهم هذا الصراط، وهذا ما يتفاوت فيه الناس بحسب إيمانهم، وكلما ازداد إيمانك ازدادت سرعتك في المرور وازداد نورك الذي ترى به طريقك، كما قال تعالى يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم أي على الصراط.
Now, he mentions then that this affair then is established in the book and in the Sunnah. From that which establishes in the book the affair of the Sirat is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَإِنْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا، that indeed there is not one of you except that he will pass over it, yani over the bridge or over the Sirat. There is a reference to the Sirat here. Likewise, as far as the Sunnah is concerned, it is established. The Prophet ﷺ, he spoke about the affair of the speed in which a person will pass over the bridge. From them, from the believers, are those who will pass like the blinking of an eye. From them are those who will pass like lightning. And so we have different speeds depending on Iman. And I should mention that is because passing over the bridge requires two characteristics. One speed, or there are two characteristics related to passing over the bridge. One speed, and the second, noor, light. And a person's speed and light will change based upon their iman, and will be affected by their iman. The greater a person's iman is, the greater his speed, and the greater his light will be.
قال الإيمان بالأنبياء والملائكة، وهذا أيضا من أركان الإيمان، وجوب الإيمان بالأنبياء والرسل جميعا، وجوب الإيمان بالملائكة.
Na'mi likewise mentions that which is related to having iman in the malaika and in the anbiya, in the anbiya and the malaika. This again is from the effect of iman, the necessary nature, the mandatory nature of believing in the Prophet, and the mandatory nature of believing in the angels.
The malaika wa iman al-jannah wal-nar. والإيمان بالجنة والنار يتضمن ثلاثة أمور. الإيمان بهما وأنهما حقيقة. الثاني الإيمان بأنهما مخلوقتان موجودتان الآن. والثالث الإيمان بأنهما لا يفنيان أبدا. وتدل على هذا على هذه الثلاث أدلة كثيرة من القرآن والسنة.
Then he mentions the fact that our belief in Jannah and Naar is and must revolve around belief in three affairs. Our belief in Jannah and Naar revolve around believing in three affairs. The first affair is that we believe that the two of them are real. That is, they are real. It's a real Jannah, a real Naar. And that they are not metaphorical. And they are not simple or symbolic. But they are real Jannah, real Naar. Number two, that they are mahluq atani al-an. That the two of them are created and present now. Not something that is going to come about, but they are created and present now as we speak. And number three, la yafnayan. That they will never ever end, the two of them. These three elements we must believe in Jannah and Naar.
ما يدل على أنهما مخلوق أتاني موجود أتاني الآن قوله تعالى أعدت للكافرين وأعدت للمتقين في الجنة والنار وكذلك أن النار لها نفس الشتاء ونفس الصيف والحمى من فيه جهنم وأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى الجنة والنار في صلاة الكسوف في الإسراء والمعراج.
Likewise, from the affairs that will establish that they are both created now, is that which is present from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in various places in the Quran, وَعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Prepare for the believers, prepare for the disbelievers. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned they are already prepared, present for the disbelievers or for the believers. Likewise, that which Allah Azza wa Jalla, or that which Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned concerning the hellfire that it has a nafas, that it has an exhalation in the summer and an exhalation in the winter. It's a curse of the summer, the message of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the fire exhales twice a year. This again indicated his presence. Similarly, from that which is present from the statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that al-humma in fayhi jahannam, that fever is from the exhalations of Jahannam. And other than that, from the ahadith, the Prophet was shown the fire, and he saw parts of the fire, and what have you. All of these evidence is indicating that the fire is present now.
وأما قوله في الجنة أنها السماء السابعة وسقف العرش هذا ورد في البخاري أن قال فسألوه الفردوس الأعلى إنه أوسط الجنة وأعلى الجنة وفوقه عرش الرحمن.
And as far as Jannah being above the seventh heaven, that is established in Sahih Bukhari. That when you ask of Allah, then you should ask for al-Firdaus, because it is the best of Jannah. And it is, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, it is above it is the throne of Ar-Rahman. And so it is established therefore that Jannah is above the seven heavens. It is above the seven heavens.
وأما قوله والنار تحت أرض السابعة السفلى أما كونها في الأرض السفلى هذا ورد عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال اكتبوا كتاب عبدي في سجين في الأرض السفلى وأما كونها الأرض السابعة هذا ورد في بعض الآثار لكنه لا يصح بكلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
As far as the hellfire being in the lowest earth or under beneath the lowest earth, then that has occurred established by the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. But what has been mentioned from it being below the seventh earth, and that is not something that we have establish a congregation in Israel. So there was some very good that may mention happy, but not anything establishing about the message that attributes to the message of Islam.
وأما كونهما لا يقنعان أبدا فهذا ورد أيضا في القرآن في السنة وغيرها مثل القرآن آيات التي فيها خالدين فيها أبدا لا بثين فيها أحقابا وقالوا يا مالك ليقضي علينا ربك قال إنكم ماكثون أما في السنة فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر أن الله يأتي بالموت على هيئة الكبش فيذبح بين الجنة والنار ثم يقال لهم خلود بلا موت.
Likewise, the Muslims should establish the fact that the hellfire and the Al-Jannah will remain forever, that the two of them will remain forever. There are a number of evidences. The first of those evidences is a body of ayat and actuality when Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions Khalidin fiha, that they will remain there forever. لَا بِكِنَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. They will remain there in the end for an eternity. Or like the statement that which occurs in Quran in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that the people of the hellfire will say, يَا مَالِكْ. They will call out to the custodian of the hellfire, O Malik, tell your Lord to finish with us, to do away with us. Yeah, it will end our lives. And he said, and he will respond, إِنَّكُمْ لَمَاكِثُونَ, that certainly you shall remain therein, yani forever. And so this then is a clear indication of the fact that the hellfire will persist forever. Likewise, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ indicated on Yom Qiyamah, death will be brought along in the form of a kafsh, in the form of a sheep that will be brought along and slaughtered in front of the people. This slaughtering is an indication of the fact that no one will die again. Yeah? I mean, that which comes will be for eternity.
قال وآدم عليه السلام كان بالجنة الباقية المخلوقة أخرج منها بعدما عصى الله عز وجل. وهنا يشير إلى الخلاف، هل الجنة التي كان فيها آدم هي جنة الخلد هي جنة عدن أم لا؟ الذي عليه أكثر سلف الأمة وأهل السنة والجماعة رجحه ابن تيمية وابن القيم وغيره أنها هي جنة عدن وهي جنة الخلد ليست جنة أخرى.
Then he mentioned the statement related to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was in paradise, but he was removed from it after disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. That is, that Adam was in the everlasting paradise, and he was removed from it when he disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal. Here it indicates a issue that there is some difference of opinion concerning, and that is, was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in Jannah itself, the everlasting Jannah, or was he in another Jannah, a garden of sorts? But then he was punished because of his disobedience. Here, Al-Shaykh mentioned that there is some difference of opinion concerning it, but that was the majority of the Muhaqqiqeen board, and the scholars of veracity, or upon the bona fide scholars of veracity that they held, the likes of Imam Ibn Qayyim, Shaykh al-Islam and others, is that he was in the everlasting Jannah, the Jannah. The Jannah, that Adam was in Jannah itself, and then he was expelled from it because of his sin.
ثم ذكر جملة من الأمور التي تدخل في الإيمان باليوم الآخر وهي الإيمان بأشراطها، وأشراط الساعة إما كبرى أو صغرى، وذكر هنا من أشراط الساعة الكبرى مسيح الدجال وكذلك نزول عيسى.
Now I'm going to mention the fact that the signs of the hour and the ashraf of the sa'ah are indicative of the nearness of the hour, and not the ashraf of the sa'ah or the signs of the hour, that they are categorized into categories. Those categories are the major signs of the hour and the minor signs of the hour. And from the minor or the major signs of the hour rather is that which he mentions here, the nuzul or the descent of the appearance of the Masih, that is the appearance Peace of Kambodia, and the appearance of the Dajjal.
المسيح الدجال جاء ذكره في سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قال وأمر عليه الصلاة والسلام بالاستعادة من فتنتك أعوذ بالله من فتنة المسيح الدجال قال بادروا بالأعمال ستة ذكر منها خروج الدجال وأما نزول عيسى فقد ورد في القرآن والسنة والإجماع على الجميع إجماع هنا على وجود الدجال ونزول عيسى وأما من القرآن قوله تعالى وإنه لعلم للساعة قال المفسرون أي نزول عيسى وقوله تعالى وإن من أهل الكتاب إلا ليؤمنن به قبل موته ويوم القيامة قال هنا نزول عيسى نزول عيسى أيضا ورد في السنة كثير من أحاديث النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بل هي متواترة بل ذكر الأحاديث فيها متواترة وهذا كله بعد الإظهار المهدي هذا المهدي أهل السنة وأما مهدي الرافضة غير وهناك مهدي الخوارج تعرفون من مهدي الخوارج؟ الدجال أن الدجال إذا ظهر الخوارج يخرجون معه يظهر بأعراضهم الدجال مع السنة مع المهدي ثم مع عيسى بن مريم لما ينزل مع أئمتهم وولاة أمورهم
Now we mentioned likewise that the affair of the fitna of the Dajjal is one that occurs and the Nuzul of the descent of Isa bin Maryam. Both of these are affairs that are established in the Kitab and in the Sunnah and Ijma, as far as that which is present in the Sunnah, we have the light of the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, the demand of the Messenger ﷺ to seek refuge from the fitna of the Dajjal. Likewise, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, Badiru wa hasan to perform good deeds before the appearance of six, and from them was the mention of the Dajjal. He mentioned likewise, as far as the book is concerned, and as far as the Quran is concerned, then we have the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla that indeed he is an indication of the hour, of the coming of the hour. And the scholars of Tafsir, they mentioned that this is a reference to Isa ibn Maryam, and to the descent of Isa ibn Maryam. Likewise, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, wa in min ahli al-kitabi illa yu'minuna bihi, that indeed there is none from the people of the book except that he will believe in him qabla mawti, before he dies. Yawm al-qiyamah, and on the day of judgment. He mentions that this ayah has in it an indication of the fact that he, that is Isa ibn Maryam, will return and the people of the book will have no choice but to believe in him. And it is likewise mutawatir, well and firmly established concerning the coming of the Dajjal and the coming of Isa ibn Maryam, and likewise the Mahdi, the ahadith related to the Mahdi, which in essence are mutawatir. And that is the Mahdi of Ahlul Sunnah, not the Mahdi of the Rafida or the Mahdi of the Khawarij. And you know the Mahdi of the Khawarij is the Mahdi of the Khawarij, the reference to the Dajjal. The Dajjal is the Mahdi of the Khawarij, since he will be followed by them. And so the Mahdi that occurs within those authentic narrations, this is the Mahdi that the Ahadith are referring to, and this is the Mahdi that all of these texts related or is related to.
ثم ذكر الإيمان وعقيدة أهل السنة بالإيمان أنه قول وعمل أنه يزيد وينقص أهل السنة بالإيمان لهم جملة من الأصول من أصولهم أن الإيمان قول وعمل واعتقاد من أصولهم أن الإيمان أجزاء وشعب يتقسم بضع وثلاثون أو بضع وسبعون شعبة. ومن أصوله أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص. وكل هذه الأصول دل عليها دلة كثيرة.
Now, so you mentioned that it's related then to the affair of speech, action, and belief. And that is that as soon as they believe in the Quran, in the affair of Iman being comprised of speech, action, and belief. And that it increases and it decreases. That is Sunnah. Have a number of statements, a number of issues related to the affair of belief. Firstly, that they believe that Iman is comprised of statement, action, and i'tiqad, the idea of belief of the heart. Likewise, that they believe that Iman is a part, comprised of parts and branches. Likewise, they believe and hold that Iman is of 70 odd branches. And they similarly believe that Iman increases and decreases. This is all from the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning Iman, and each of these elements of belief in Iman have adilla and have evidences indicating them.
من الأدلة الجامعة حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة أعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. الأصل الأول هو الإيمان قول وعمل واعتقاد. قول قول لا إله إلا الله، عمل إماطة الأذى، اعتقاد الحياء، وكونه شعب الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعب، وكونه يزيد وينقص قال أعلاها وأدناها، كلها تدل على هذه الأصول.
All of the principles that we have mentioned that are established in the statements of the Prophet ﷺ, that Iman is 60 odd or 70 odd branches. The highest branch is the statement La ilaha illallah, the lowest branch is to remove something harmful from the path, and Haya, shyness, is above the Iman. And so here we have all of that which has been mentioned of statements of action and belief of Baha present in this one hadith. Yani a'laha, the highest rank is the statement La ilaha illallah, the indication of the fact that statements are from Iman. His lowest rank is to remove something harmful from the path, which is an action. And hayal, which is related to the heart, shyness of the heart, is a rank of Iman. And so we see these three elements of Iman present within this one hadith: statement, action, and belief of the heart.
ثم ذكر عقيدة أهل السنة بالصحابة وأن فضلهم أو ترتيبهم في الفضل هو ترتيبهم في الخلافة، وأفضل هذه الأمة أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان، وهكذا كان يقول الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم النبي يسمع، ثم بعده علي، وهذا استقر عليه اجماع اهل السنه، ثم بقيه العشره المبشرين بالجنه، وهكذا بقيه المهاجرين، والمهاجرين افضل من الانصار. وكل من صاحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولو لحظه فقد حاز فضل الصحبه، وفضل الصحبه لا يعدله فضل. فالواحد من الصحابة ولو قلت مدة صحبته أفضل من أي عالم من علماء التابعين. فالصحابة أفضل من غيرهم بمجموعهم وأفرادهم، فلا يأتي أحد بعد الصحابة أفضل من واحد من الصحابة.
He mentions likewise that the aqeedah of the Sunnah wal Jama'ah is actually related to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are, as it relates to their order in virtue, their order in virtue is the same as their order in khilafah. Their order in virtue is the same as their order in khilafah, taking the caliphate. And there is no doubt that this was the statement of the companions themselves. Up to that which is related to the Khulafa, the first three, and likewise Ali, radiallahu anhu, they used to hold that and make that statement. The Messenger of Allah was present and would hear that which they have said. And so the Khulafa, the best of them, and then that which is related to the Muhajirun being better than the Ansar. It is the general belief of the Sunnah that the Muhajirun, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, are better than the Ansar, those companions who were present in Medina when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the migration. And he mentioned likewise that the companion, any companion, even if he was a companion just for a moment, he only saw the Messenger of Allah momentarily, or met the Messenger of Allah momentarily. This individual is better than anyone of the ulama from among the tabi'een who came after them. Even the one who just saw the Prophet for a moment is superior to the most knowledgeable of the knowledgeable tabi'een, the generation that came after them. They're superior to them by virtue of their being from among the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ثم ذكر حقوق الصحابة من حقوق الصحابة الترحم والترضي عنهم وأن لا يذكرون إلا بخير وأما ما حصل من زلاتهم وهم غير معصومين فإننا لا نذكرها ولا نذكر إلا الحسنات وأنه ما حصل بينهم من الفتنة لا يجوز الخوف فيه إذا ذكر أصحابي فأمسكوا هو حديث حسن نطق في أصحاب رسول الله بكلمة فهو صاحب هوى. الإمام أحمد رحمه الله يقول إذا رأيت الرجل يغمز في واحد من أصحاب رسول الله فاتهمه عن الإسلام. وأما حديث الأصحاب كالنجوم هذا حديث ضعيف.
Likewise, he went up to mention the rights of the Sahaba, the rights of the companions of the Messenger of Allah upon us. You mentioned that from their rights is the tarahum, that is, that we supplicate that Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy upon them, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with them, and that we do not mention them ever except with faith. And that whosoever mentions them with sore or with evil, then he is a person of misguidance. And that we do not mention that which occurred between them of the fitna and the trials and the disputes that occurred among them. But we do not enter into speaking about those disputes in detail and discussing or taking positions in relation to them. And so whomsoever, just as the Prophet himself said, إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا that if my companions are mentioned, then withhold. Withhold. This is, then don't enter into speech concerning them. And so whomsoever therefore disparages one of them, then accuses Islam.
بهذا نقف في الدرس القادم ان شاء الله بعد المغرب الله اعلم صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
So we'll stop at that point until the that continues at the moment.